Investors today looking for ports ahead of a coming storm. In New York, I'm Molly Wood, in for David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Midday Update. Reports today that billionaire investor George Soros is back in the trading game after a long hiatus, and he is dumping stocks and buying gold. In fact, lots of movement in that direction right now. Let's get some context today from Diane Swonk at DS Economics. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
So let's talk about what's happening with markets today. We're seeing a lot of moves into safe havens, gold and government bonds. What's going on?
Well, what we're seeing is a reaction to the potential vote for the UK to opt out of the European Union. They vote that in the next couple of weeks. If they make that vote to opt out, it could cause collateral damage throughout much of the European Union, as even members of the Eurozone consider whether they should stay or go. And so in response to that, we're seeing people sort of want to protect themselves in that kind of world.
So they're hunkering down. But why is there a move towards safety now? We know the Brexit vote has been looming for a while.
Well, the issue with markets is they don't vote with their money until they know the vote is clear or the uncertainty is clear. And frankly, no one knows what the polls really mean in Europe anymore, nor in the U.S., to be honest with you. And they're finally at the last minute saying we better hedge our bets right now. In an effort to protect themselves, they're going where they think the world is the safest, and that includes Germany and the U.S.
Are the safe havens all that safe?
Well, that is one of the questions. And the safe haven is Germany, but it isn't the rest of Europe. In fact, much of the periphery in the Eurozone has seen upward pressure on their interest rates, even as they've gone more negative in Germany. So you're really seeing this play out across country borders, even in the same currency zone, which is something the euro was meant to sort of prevent.
That's Diane Swonk at DS Economics. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Changing demographics in the U.S., a new study finds that the working class in the United States will be majority non-white more than a decade before the overall population. The Economic Policy Institute predicts that shift will happen by 2032. Marketplace's Adrienne Hill has more.
There's been a lot of focus on the white working class this election cycle, but the makeup of the working class itself is shifting.
Part of it has to do with just the changing demographics of the population.
Valerie Wilson is from the Economic Policy Institute. She wrote the new study.
We've already seen the transition take place in other segments of the population. For example, when we look at children 5 and younger, they're already majority people of color.
William Fry is a demographer at the Brookings Institution. He says, for starters, the new projection should be a call to employers.
Corporate presidents and people who are in charge of the hiring need to understand that the culture, the working culture that occurs in their organizations needs to be open to a broader group of people than they were in the past.
Fry says the report is also a reminder that the success of all kids today is essential for our broader future economic prosperity. I'm Adrienne Hill for Marketplace.
No state has embraced solar energy quite like California. It's the number one market in the country, so much so that increasingly that power is going across state lines to places like Arizona. Will Stone of KJZZ in Phoenix reports.
It's just after lunchtime on the trading floor of Arizona Public Service in downtown Phoenix, and three guys are chasing deals. Not so much here, but in California.
That's very typically what happens every day during this time of year.
Brad Albert works for the utility, and he's talking about energy prices on the wholesale market. They're negative, meaning Arizona is actually being paid to take power from its next-door neighbor.
Very much driven by the large amounts of renewable generation, particularly solar, in California.
It's a mild, sunny spring day there. Customer demand is low, but solar panels are churning out lots of power, and California has a surplus. But not everyone sees this as a problem.
We think of this as actually a real indication of how far solar has come in terms of price and availability.
That's Jim Bach with the nonprofit Vote Solar. He calls this negative pricing growing pains of an electrical grid still stuck in the last century.
New technologies and renewable clean resources that have become very, very cost effective being put onto a grid that was designed under a very different structure.
Back then, utilities could turn on power plants to match demand. Nowadays, solar power floods the grid even when demand is low. And Bach says the utilities need to adapt. Mark Rothleder agrees. He's with the California Independent System Operator and says they're looking for solutions while this is still manageable.
Regional opportunities to exchange and share this energy when it's mutually beneficial for other parts of the system.
In other words, trading energy with nearby states. And Vote Solar's Jim Bach says customers will also play a big role. For example,
I'm going to generate from my solar and either charge my electric vehicle or I'll charge a battery, and then I can actually sell that back to the utility when the utility needs it most.
Like when people come home at the end of the day, when the sun isn't shining. In Phoenix, I'm Will Stone for Marketplace.
And a highly intriguing and secretive meeting starts today in Dresden, Germany. The Bilderberg meeting is a yearly gathering of political leaders, business magnates, and a few press. No one takes notes there. No proposals or rules come out of it. They just talk about big global issues. On the agenda this year, the increasing size of the so-called precariat class. That's an economic term that refers to people who live, well, precariously in our society. It's hard to imagine that many of the people in the room know that feeling all too well. Nevertheless, I certainly wish I could listen in. In New York, I'm Molly Wood, and this is the Marketplace Midday Update from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.